children's worship. If you have kids with you that you want to send down with her, now is the time to do that. She's going to grab kids from the Spanish congregation as well. You're probably looking at me kind of like Scott did, saying, oh, incognito. A little bit of also trying to allow myself to have some peace in where I'm at. I prepared this lesson a little bit differently than I normally go at my sermons for Southside. I prepared this lesson like I was prepping more for a devotional at camp. I did that in part because one of the things that a lot of people who enjoy time up there feel is peace. Whether it's sitting on the back porch of the lodge in that nice double Adirondack chair with the platform in between, listening to the falls, maybe taking a short nap, sitting on the deck outside of the nature center, hearing the falls, out at Serenity where you really can't hear anything except nature and the quiet around you. I find peace there. And so I allowed myself to dress and feel that peace a little bit today. Now, there's the Greek word that we're talking about. I'm going to go ahead and read the fruit of the Spirit again. So Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So, as we look at peace today, let's think about what this means, because I think that's very important. It's kind of interesting because through the songs and the prayers that we've already had, though I didn't share anything that I've prepared, I could almost just say, do you remember this? Do you remember this? Because a lot of my points have already been made. Peace comes from another word, a verb, aereo, which means to join or to bind together that which has been separated. So when we talk about the perfect peace and peace coming from God, that joining back together with God is where we get peace. Without that joining, there is no peace. So literally, this picture is a binding and joining, things that have been separated or divided, and putting them together as one once more. Think about having it all together. Peace is the opposite of division. It's the opposite of dissension. It's a state, a sense of having harmony. And in Hebrew, it's used as a parting greeting. Now, as we think about peace today, in our world around us, there's a lot of different kinds of peace that we can see. There's the peace that you can find hiding your sorrows in drugs and alcohol. There's the peace that you can find by just walling yourself away from any kind of interaction with other people and hiding from the world around you. There's the peace that the world sees, the peace that the world desires. That's not the peace that we want as Christians. That's not the peace that God wants us to have. God's peace is Well, maybe it's like a river. That's the Upper Falls at camp. That's a lot calmer and more peaceful than Lower Falls is. In Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 19, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Christ's gift on the cross is peace with God. It's a oneness again with the Father. It's a oneness with the Spirit, a oneness with our brother Christ. In Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." That peace that we have through Christ's sacrifice allows us to live lives that are counter to the world around us. This is critical for us as Christians. It's critical for those who are searching, because if you are searching and you don't have a relationship with God right now, knowing peace, like what I'm talking about, really isn't possible. You can have a disconnect. You can have a fuzzy feeling that allows you to be numb. But a peace that allows you to have comfort in any circumstance isn't attainable outside of God's love and his family. This peace that we have with God brings conflict with the world. It's just how it is. In Matthew chapter 10, Matthew 10, 34, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." How can we have peace with God when we have strife and conflict with the world? That's just it. When we come out of that world and step into the family of God, we make the decision that we want to follow him, that we understand and believe that his truth is truth. Then these other things dim in comparison to his love and being in his presence. Now, The world is not going to understand that. The world is not going to accept that. The world is going to push back. And it's going to be ugly. And it is going to cause us to have conflict with family if they are not in Christ. It is going to cause us to have conflict with friends if they are not in Christ. It is going to cause us to have conflict with neighbors if they are not in Christ. That may not manifest itself as words or actions or anything else. That conflict may not be something that you see. But it should be a conflict that you feel. Because we are serving God. We are striving to live like Christ. That peace that comes from knowing Him allows us to have a life that is different. It should look different. We should sound different. If we were at camp, it would be really easy because I could say, how have you felt for however long we've been here? You've been surrounded by Christians, by people who are giving example of Christ every day, whether it's the people serving us in the lunch and breakfast and dinner lines, whether it's the people who are helping you in rec class, the people who are showing you things in nature, all of these people, all of these adults and older people around you are acting like Christ to you. But sitting here, we don't have that. Hopefully, in this room right now, we can see the example of Christ no matter where we turn. But as soon as we walk out those doors, there's the world. The peace of Christ is here with us right now. We can carry it with us as we walk out into the world. Judas asks Jesus a question in John 14. Judas says, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Now, this isn't Judas Iscariot. Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Jesus showed himself to his disciples. He has shown himself to us. And because he has shown himself to us through Scripture, through our brothers and sisters that sit around us right now, because of that, we know what it's supposed to look like. What does it look like? If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. What is the teaching? Love the Lord your God with everything that you are. And love your neighbor as yourself. The hatred and the bitterness that I just read about in Matthew isn't emanating from us. It's not anything that we're doing. It's a pushback against our love. It's a pushback against God's love. So as we search for the peace of being a Christian, how do we do that? What does it make our lives, what makes our lives different? How do they change? In Psalm 119, the psalmist says in verse 161, "Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word." Psalm 119, verse 161. "I rejoice in your promise, like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I wait for your salvation, O Lord, and follow your commands. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you. If we truly want to have peace with God, our Christian walk has to include time in his word. It has to include making his thoughts a part of our lives. And that means reading scripture on a daily basis. It means having songs and hymns in our hearts and not being afraid to let those out. It means that we need to be praying and opening ourselves up to God's word in our lives. The Bible is not the only way that God is going to share things with you. The people sitting around you in this room are going to speak Christ to you. Strangers on the street have the ability to speak Christ to you, whether it is them actually giving you a word of encouragement or them pricking your heart and allowing you to see something that needs to change in your own life. We are blessed to have a God that loves us so richly, who has given us his word, and who has given us a family that we can live in and with. That is peace. To know that there are people who are praying for my family, to know that there are people who are praying for Margaret and for Brad and for Tom and for everyone else who has lost someone in the past year, to know that we pray for each other. My family may have come up here in the front while my dad was in the hospital, but know that each and every other person who is facing that, who is going through those trials and struggles, has the same people who surrounded me and prayed for my kids, praying for them. That is peace. To know that people are holding us up. So if we want to have peace with God and in Christ, we have to take his laws, take his love in Scripture, and put them inside of ourselves. We have to do that on a daily basis. I'm at camp. I'm forgetting about slides. We have to practice having peace. We have to practice being at peace. What on earth is that? Well, Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As we live our lives, we practice peace. We practice peace by showing love to each other. We practice peace by showing love to those who do not show love to us in this world. We practice peace by, as we go through the checkout line, noticing that that checker has had 4 or 5 too many people come through who have not had peace on their mouths as they checked out, and being peace for that person who is standing there doing their best to serve others. We can be peace in so many different ways. We can practice peace in our lives every day. And along with being in the scriptures and praying, if we want to have peace, we have to practice it. We have to search it out. It's there waiting for us. It's promised to us. And if we can believe God's promises to Abraham and to Moses and to others in the Old Testament, shouldn't we believe his promises to us? He has promised that we will have peace with him, a oneness with him through the cross, an everlasting peace, a peace that allows us to live differently. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Everlasting peace. Peace that bears fruit in our lives. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about what this looks like. Briefly mentioned shalom. There's a breakdown. Can't see it very well, I'm sure. Peace is that oneness. Peace is oneness with God. Peace is oneness with our family in Christ. Peace is the knowledge that we can be made right, that we can be made pure in God's sight. Not by anything that we do, but by his gift in the cross. In Philippians chapter 4, Scott read it very nicely for me this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. If you're anxious, do you have peace in your heart? If you're worried about what's going to happen next, are you peaceful? No. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Oh, being in Scripture, praying. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. This peace that passes all understanding, this peace that allows us to stand up against the storms of this world, is only in Christ. Now, Jesus, at one point in time, was with his disciples. They were out on a boat in the Sea of Galilee. There was a small wind that blew up. Okay, it was a storm. These men that are with Jesus in the boat, many of them are fishermen. Many of them grew up on this lake. And they're afraid. They have no peace. A storm on a lake that they grew up on. I grew up on a lake in Northern California. I've been out on it in all kinds of weather. And I've never really had a time where I was afraid of the lake that I knew. I've been on the ocean. And there have definitely been times where I had fear on the ocean. But on that lake that I knew, really there was nothing that surprised me. And this storm was so severe that these men who grew up on the lake were afraid of it. And what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping peacefully. They woke him. And he spoke to the storm. He spoke to the wind. And he said, "Peace, be still." And it was calm. He wants to do the same thing for us. Jesus wants to speak over our lives, "Peace, be still." He wants the storms that surround us to cease. He wants us to feel the tranquility of being a recipient of his mercy and grace. In Romans, Romans 6, 3 and 4. I know. I'll go back to 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness, instruments of peace. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." This is the beauty of God's peace. This is the beauty of the peace that is a fruit of the Spirit. That peace is something that we as Christians can cultivate. It is something that we can grow and produce and give to others. But to give it to others, we have to have relationship with them. And to have relationship with them, we have to seek them out. So as we live our lives in peace with God, grateful for the gift that he has given us through his Son, let us cultivate the fruits of the Spirit, specifically peace, so that we can share with others the calm that we can feel, knowing that we are secure in God's hand. Everlasting peace is attainable. Everlasting peace is a promise that is given to those who are in Christ. If you are a member of this body and you are struggling and you are having a hard time seeing and feeling that peace, I want to pray with you. I know Ken and Troy want to pray with you. There are others here who want to walk by your side. We want you to feel that peace. We want you to be able to cultivate those fruits of the Spirit. If you are not in Christ, if you have not come to be a part of his family through baptism, and you want to know more about what it is to be a Christian, and not just in name, but in deed and in action, please come and talk with me. God is begging to give you his peace. He wants you to know him. He wants you to have the calm in life's storms that he offers. If you are in need, please come and let me know as we stand together and sing.